You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's 7 o'clock in Los Angeles, and you're watching Mainstream Metaphysics on LA Talk Radio. And I'm Nick Newmont. This is Audrey Newmont.
Hello.
And I guess the winds of change are blowing, aren't they?
They are.
Jeez. There's a lot of metaphors, and you talk about being in the eye of the storm and all that, and what I wrote on these winds of change, and talk about the planets and how it's all coming together. First of all, I want to talk about last week, Dr. Kristen Byerly, who did an incredible job. She is the chiropractor that we know and really respect for her work. And she also presented in our Healthy Mind, Healthy Body series last night, and people just loved her. So if you are looking for a good chiropractor that knows the body inside and out, check out Dr. Byerly, and her place in Newbury Park is Body Restoration. She is phenomenal.
And she really is.
And she's such a wealth of information. And what's funny about her, she's so dedicated to what she does. Sometimes she speaks ultra scientifically. And sometimes even Audrey and I, we know a lot about the body. We'll go, what does that mean?
Right.
So it's a pleasure to have someone that's such an expert in their field, to have amongst us. Now, this coming Monday night, and Healthy Mind, Healthy Body, the Newmont Center, is Eloise Buckner. And some of you know who that is. And Eloise is a hydrocolon therapist and a nutritionist. She has a degree from UCLA in biochemistry, I believe. And she is another wealth of information about the body and how the body works. And, you know, the next couple of weeks in class, you know, she'll be talking about that. And then the next week is Dr. Michael McGuire, our Chinese medicine doctor and acupuncturist, and his focus will be on the gut. Mm-hmm. And next Tuesday night, a week from tonight, Dr. McGuire will be on the show with us talking about gut health and how important that is. And you know, if we really take care of our gut health and, you know, ingest what we should eat, we wouldn't have a lot of the health problems that we have. You know, we have to learn the kind of fuel that we put into our body is really does matter.
And I want to say something about Eloise. I went to her for many, many years. I went to her when I was pregnant with my daughter, Milena, and yeah, she really helped make my birth amazing. Remember that?
Yes.
It was amazing. Yeah. And then when I hit 50, I had a real serious health challenge, and I went to her, and I'm telling you, it's like I asked her ages after. I said, Eloise, I feel like I was really sick that time I went to you. And she was like, you were on the edge of the cliff. And what she does and what the different holistic doctors do and all the stuff that we teach with this Healthy Mind, Healthy Body course is to, instead of just putting a Band-Aid over things and just feeling better at the moment, they literally teach you how to rework. So, for instance, when I went to her at 50, I literally took 6 months to retrain the interior of my body how to work correctly. And I followed what she said. So she would say, do this. And every time I would veer off of it, my body would let me know, you're not supposed to be doing that. And it took 6 months and it really shaped up, right?
Yes, it did.
Pretty amazing thing.
Yes, it did.
So when we're teaching that Healthy Mind, Healthy Body course, when we're bringing in the experts, there's all these different things that we do to maintain a balance of the health right of our life.
And in the class, you know, people have asked about this even before people signed up. We're not teaching you how to eat or what to eat or how to exercise. The focus of that class is really the mind, body, emotion, spiritual connection. We do talk about chakras and the aura, mm-hmm, and how they're connected to the glands, and each week how that gland functions and affects us emotionally, metabolically. I mean, last night with Kristen and all of that, I mean, it was phenomenal. And, you know, when we're talking about the root chakra, which is houses the fight-flight mechanism, and that's the adrenals. I mean, right now, people's adrenals are going crazy.
Explain to them. So when we're talking about the adrenals, explain to them a little bit about the adrenals, just so they get a sense of this.
Well, first of all, the word adrenal really should almost be hyphenated as adrenal, because your kidneys sit, you know, in around the middle of your back, lower to mid back, and it looks like these little caps, almost like snow caps, that sit on top of the kidneys. Those are your adrenal glands, adrenals, renal as in kidney, okay, and urine function. So, you know, when the adrenals get heavily triggered because the sympathetic nervous system goes crazy, and the parasympathetic goes crazy. Yeah, the sympathetic is the one that calms everything down. The adrenals start going like this. They start activating. That will produce too much cortisol. It'll send your blood pressure through the ceiling. And when your adrenals are not working correctly, when you're on this continual, when you're on adrenaline and you think you've got a lot of energy, but you're really ready to collapse because you're on adrenaline, your fuel tank is low, that has a direct effect on the thyroid, which is the gland for the throat chakra. Mm-hmm. Now, emotionally, when the fight-flight mechanism kicks in, we're completely reacting to external stimuli. We're not thinking at that point.
Right.
I mean, if there's
the brain is a pilot.
Exactly. Exactly. So we have to get that to calm down. And again, you know, that's your root chakra, the one that's down between the legs, which is your, again, fight-flight mechanism, your confidence, your ego, fears, finances, spinal column, nervous system. This is all basal development, you know, in the first year of your life. And as we talk in class, you know, your chakras are not all in adult form when you're born. Your chakras grow and develop at different stages, you know, of life. In fact, your chakras, by the time you get to your third eye and your crown, your chakras are not really fully developed until you're in a mature adult. It's not like one is at 1 year old and the second one's at 2 years old. I mean, your third chakra doesn't develop fully until 7 and 14 years old, you know, in the heart from 14. So our growth, our etheric stages of growth, you know, are quite the process, just as, you know, just as we grow. Now, you know, as, oh, we'll talk about the upcoming class before we close the show.
Okay.
Okay. Because I don't want to forget about that. That's important. So now here we sit, and, you know, last year, 2020, we had all these very intense planetary alignments that created what we got.
Yep.
And so now, as we talked a little bit about this already, as Saturn and Jupiter have moved into Aquarius, we're deepening this Aquarian energy, which is supposed to be more about social structure, more about humanitarianism. But it is Aquarian energy, which is very reactive. And going back to this past Friday, the planet Uranus, which is the ruler of Aquarius, and Mars have started to align. And so all this week and until this coming Saturday, as Mars and Uranus are on top of each other, this is an extremely volatile alignment, because if you put it in everyday language, you know, Uranus rules sudden changes. It rules the weather, which is basically unpredictable. It rules earthquakes. And then Mars, coming from the god of war, you know, is unabated energy. And I was telling a client the other day, when Mars and Uranus are on top of each other like this, not a square, not an opposition, one, it can be very accident prone. So as you're out there, please be aware of what you're doing. Just vegetable with a knife, because Mars, which is the original ruler of the eighth house before Pluto came along, is also known as public conveyances. So Uranus and Mars is accident prone. So let's pay attention to what we're doing, because in Aquarian energy, things happen all of a sudden, meaning Uranus. And then We have to allow ourselves to really be in the eye of the hurricane. And you've been talking about the eye of the storm and also this wind that's going on.
Yeah.
Uranus rules Aquarius, which is an air sign. Mars rules Aries, which is a fire sign. And you put these two together, air and fire. And so what we've got is fanning the flames. Now, in a moment, we'll talk about it. It's like on a personal level, but on a cosmic level, it causes erratic air patterns and it can trigger fires. It has. There were some over the last few days. So we have to learn to chill out, because Uranus Mars is one of the most reactionary alignments that you can have in astrology. And thank goodness this coming Saturday, it stops.
And also Mercury's in retrograde as well, right?
Okay, so as of...
Because there was just not enough.
Yeah, as if there's not enough. So when you look at the chart, and I ran a chart for tomorrow, and I ran it for 11:55 a.m. on the West Coast, and that's exactly when Mars and Uranus are right on top of each other. On top of it, we have the moon conjunct Mars and Uranus, which means people are very emotional. And it's also squared by Jupiter, which means our freedom-seeking desires and qualities have kicked in. Jupiter squaring Uranus means there's not enough room for both of us here. And the sun, as of today, last night, early this morning, went into Aquarius, and Mercury, getting to you, Audrey, Mercury is in Aquarius already, and as of the 9th, we started to feel the shadow period of Mercury retrograde.
What does all that mean?
Hold on to your hat, literally and figuratively. Now look, and I think we mentioned this a little bit last week, because we're starting to feel the effect of Mercury retrograde, and it doesn't retrograde station until January the 30th, which is, you know, 11 days from now. But we still have to be careful with electronics. With Mercury retrograde in the sign of Aquarius, and Uranus, which rules Aquarius, rules inventions, innovations, unique, different, and high-end technology, satellites, wireless, Bluetooth, all of that. I mean, this is going to be an interesting time with technology, and we you know, the phone doesn't work right, the computer doesn't work right, but we have to be careful with, because Mercury rules communication, how we think, how we speak, and as it's you know, in this all this Aquarian energy, and with the Mars Uranus alignment squaring the Aquarian planets. People aren't thinking right now. People are reacting. Mm-hmm. And so does this trigger the fight mechanism, Jupiter and the sun and Mercury in that same position? Oh, my heavens, yes. I mean, it's like tonight's a good night to just be home with a cup of cocoa. Just sit back, throw a blanket on yourself and just whatever.
I think tomorrow might be a good day for that too. Just stay home with a cup of cocoa. See, some people would be like, I'll be staying home with a glass of wine, I'm thinking.
See, normally Mercury rules the way we think near term, mm-hmm. when there's a level of common sense that's supposed to be with Mercury. Well, we may see common sense go out the window. Now, there's one thing that I really want to emphasize. You know, when myself and any astrologer, not being psychic, but as astrologers, we look at all these alignments, mm-hmm. and we point out this is what can happen. We can point out the positive effect of an alignment, and we can look at the challenging effect of the alignment. And you know, I'm not saying good and bad. Mm-hmm. It's what we do with it. And just because that I say there could be all this crazy stuff going on and unrest, I'm not giving people permission to go out and behave like idiots, mm-hmm. just because it's, you know, the wind's blowing and Mars and Uranus are, you know, on top of each other, trying to elbow each other out of the picture. And Mercury going retrograde means we're thinking backwards. You know, that we have to think. And when you get into real Aquarian energy, that really is supposed to be about higher consciousness. As we move deeper and deeper into the Aquarian age, we're supposed to evolve. That's what's supposed to happen.
And I think we need to evolve. This is an interesting time.
And also, you know, going into the Aquarian age and all these planets that I'm talking about in Aquarius, and Uranus and Taurus, which is the height of the feminist movement, you know, we are supposed to be more conscious. We're supposed to pay more attention to what we're doing, how we're treating each other. And this is referred to by many astrologers as the Great Awakening.
Can I just say something about that part of being more conscious? Because when people hear that, it's like, what does that mean, being more conscious? So when we were talking before, and many of you have seen our previous shows, there's a thing, it's called the theory of mind. And there is, most of our thinking is unconscious. So there's a lot of our thinking where we're just on an autopilot. Like when you're driving your car, you're on an autopilot. When you're doing your housework, there's certain people when you're actually working, you don't really need to think about it. You're just in the action of doing it. So that's the unconscious. And then you've got this part of it where you are conscious, and that's where you're looking at things with logic, with reason, with deduction. You're using your willpower and you're making a conscious, intentional choice. This is what I'm doing. So when he's saying to be more conscious, that means you're coming from your power rather than your fear. And fear is anytime you're feeling angry, anxious, worried, stressed, all those kind of feelings, it's always an unconscious that you're doing. So when we're looking at that part about the fight flight, it's always coming from an unconscious place. So you want to be more conscious and looking at things, looking at it with reason, with logic.
And on your PowerPoint that you did so well for the class, you have up there fear, but then you also have informed.
That is an important part. And we talked about that last night. And that is something that is hitting so many of us square in the face. There is all of this information that's out there. And I've literally talked to people, they say, I don't want to get political, or I don't want to look at it. I just want to get on with my life. So when something happens, they're totally taken by surprise and they go into fight flight. They don't have information. It's like sometimes with our health, it's like, well, how did I get sick? I'm not informed. How did I get sick in my previous stuff? Most of it was because I wasn't informed on how my body operates and literally on how to eat, how to do the things that keep it healthy. So when we were talking last night about fear and form, one of the fabulous people that's on here tonight, Miss Melody, her and I were talking one day and she said something and it just struck me and it just created this whole PowerPoint slide. And it says on there, what depletes the battery? We were talking about this and we're saying, what depletes the battery? What depletes the adrenals? So if we're talking about my car analogy, what I say to people is when you're driving, if you're in fear, like especially anxiety, stress, worry, it's like you have the car in park and you have the foot on the gas. So on the inside of us, we're revving and revving and revving. And all that energy is just going and there's no real good outlet for it. Right. So when you are depleting the battery, you're in fear. So what is charging the battery is information. So you're literally taking what you're learning and what you're informing yourself about and putting it into form so that you're intentionally creating what you're creating. So as an example, there's a lot of people right now, these winds are going. And for those of us that are in this area, many of us were evacuated. Many people lost their homes. So as these winds are going, there was a moment today with myself. And I was like, oh, I smell smoke. And there's this wind that's going. And I went into a moment of, ugh. And then I had to step back. Is I'm going to stop the car and I'm going to recognize I've just had a moment of a little something. a little akin to anxiety or stress or whatever. And there's a part of me that's like, is this going to happen again? Or am I going to be breathing in this stuff and have to detox it or whatever that thing is? Because I do have a bit of a headache now. So there's a part of it where I have to stop and recognize this is my old trauma talking about when we got evacuated and we were worried and, you know, it looked like we were going to lose our home. And there's a part of it where we inform. So I'm informing my mind and going to, well, wait a minute. I'm okay. We look it up, get more information. Where are the fires? They're not even close. That's okay. And then the other part of it, if there is a fire, am I able to grab and go? So there's a part of it where it's like I step out of the fight flight and I'm informing myself. I'm going to the conscious reasoning to logic and saying, I'm okay. And then there's that other part that he was talking about before. That literally is a storm kind of going on around us. So what I'm sharing with people is you're in the car, right? Keep all hands and feet in the vehicle at all times and understand that you're in the eye of the storm. You're not a part of it. So when you're reaching your hand out there and you want to start getting anxious about something, bring it back in, bring it back to, I am grounded, centered, focused, I'm safe. I'm calm. And you can create a mantra for yourself.
Yeah. And also when we talk about, you know, the subconscious and that's where memory is. And that's the subconscious rules our behavior. One of the things that's also happening to people and what you were talking about past fire, you know, for people watching out there and what people have been through, you know, when we get peppered with so much input, it completely, you know, goes straight past the conscious mind and disorganizes the critical area of mind, which is the filter. And so when we get to like this year where there's been a lot of turmoil, we've had COVID, and then, of course, a lot of controversy around the elections, and now the winds come up, triggering memory. Well, what happens is that people go into an unconscious behavior and thoughts of drop. Mm-hmm. And that's what we can't allow ourselves to do, is stay conscious on things and what is literally happening right now. Or as we say, we talk about wanting truth on a grand scale, but we have to be in truth all the time as to what's going on, or we go into a perception which creates a perspective on things, and then we lose the conscious mind and we quote unquote lose our mind
right
for a few moments there. So we have to, in a time like this, and talking about Uranus and Mars, we consciously have to reel it in, because will there be people out there who are reactionary or not paying attention, or, you know, with Mercury retrograde contributing to the Mars Uranus alignment, have accidents and stuff like that? Well, you look outside, Uranus rules Mother Nature. Trees have fallen over and stuff has happened.
Avocados are falling into neighbors' yards.
Where?
Audie's got her neighbors like, avocados, right. Just filling up bags of avocados.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, there's enough that goes on with nature. And also the other thing that I should point out too, where we are in referring to the generically the age of Aquarius that we're moving into, you know, this does have to do with changing weather patterns and things like that. Things that we're seeing, you know, it's not an accident, which means that we're at a different point in the constellation in the sky. We're not where we were. And I remember many years flying and hardly ever having a turbulent flight unless there was a storm. And once we got into the early 2000s, where the age of Aquarius started to apply and we started to shift, especially all those times for a while where I was on and off planes because of my book tour, I had more turbulence than you could imagine. And there is more turbulence. And it's not because there's something wrong with the planes or the pilots. It's because we have shifted where we are in the cosmos. And there's different kinds of airstreams coming through. And there's more wind that's out there. Yes.
I think that's something that very few of us really even think about. I know a lot of people that never even look up at the stars very much. It's very interesting. We don't think about who we are on this planet and, right. and what that looks like in the scheme of things. You know, it just doesn't enter people's minds. So we just think, oh, the weather's just different. And a lot of people think it's just about climate change or whatever the thing right. is. And there's some matters in it.
Well, so much information. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of what we choose, whether it's watching TV or watching some news or getting information. We're getting information coming from all over the place. Did you hear this? Did you see this? Did you watch this? And you end up like a cartoon character. You're going to...
But I'm going to just say something about that. And I know this may sound controversial, and I don't really care if it sounds controversial. This part about getting information, at this moment, there is all these forms of information, right? And for a lot of us, when we go into that fight-flight thing, it's like, I'm just going to get this information because I rely on this source or because this source is what I've always known. And to be clear, that's how I've always been. I've always had that source of information that I would go to, and I relied on that source. So as this whole thing has been going now for all this time, so I'm looking at a lot of different places, and I'm looking at not one particular thing, like one supporting this or one supporting that. I'm literally expanding. I'm looking at different things with health, different things with finance, different things with politics, and I'm just gaining information. And a lot of it, I'm like, I don't know if it's true. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if a lot of it is true. So when I hear something that sounds like it could be true, I'm going to go to the source of it. So I've been doing a lot of homework. So I'll go to documents that are government documents, and I'll look at that. I'll look at different things that I can look at and say, well, this is true. And again, I'm becoming informed. So again, do I know that it's true? I can see what has happened. I can see what is happening. And then I can wait, knowing, like, for instance, whatever happens tomorrow, my attention, because remember, the rulers are your intention, attention, and perception. So my intention is on the best and highest is happening for humanity. And we're moving into this time that we've been talking about where things are becoming all the things that you've been right. talking about. So can I know that all these things are true? I don't know.
Well, you could go to a cocktail party and mingle with 20 different people, and you could get 20 different opinions mm-hmm. on something. And some of those opinions could be based on fact. Some of them are just emotionally driven. Mm-hmm. And then you could have someone in that cocktail party, you know, make a joke about something, and everyone is kind of like stopped. And then it's like, oh, that was a joke. See? So, you know, as we have to figure things out and we have to figure out the truth, that's part of this awakening. You know, this is part of, like, you can say karma, but there is a cosmic joke, okay? And that is us as souls coming into this physical form, trying to figure all this out and get through life and have love and be abundant and be healthy and live to whatever age you want to live to, and then exit and go back to being a soul. And on the other side going, okay, well, over here, I got that figured out. But when I was in that, it was really hard to figure that out. Then that's the cosmic joke. And I do mean that in a fun way, because we have to lighten up. Otherwise, we start talking about karma and it gets a little too heavy. But we do have to take a look at, you know, what we are thinking. And we also have to look at, even if we are looking at the truth, all right, even when we see the truth, are we reacting to truth in a fear-based way?
Right.
Okay. That's, and some people do. And so when we look at different things, like for instance, it took us a while, you know, how many years to figure out, oh, you know, a lot of the food we've been eating for decades, it's not really good for us.
Well, let's take it back a little bit further. Remember when cigarettes first came out? Oh, the doctors are smoking them on their breaks. This is the kind that I smoke. It's the best thing ever. So even the doctors were telling you, smoke these cigarettes. My mother died of cancer, lung cancer at that. So there's all these things that we don't know until we do know. So it's like, that's why, again, logic, reasoning, deduction. If there's a little hint of something, check it out. Yeah, if it starts to feel like it's not quite right, if your intuition is telling you there's something more here.
They also, when you talk about cigarette smoking and you go back as far into the 30s and advertising, you know, cigarette smoking was glamorized.
Right.
It was like higher society smoked. And,
right.
And then commercials. And I have to say, this is funny because now here I just went back into the 60s. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. Really? Filet mignon doesn't taste like that.
But you know what? Cigarettes, people don't realize it until they get hooked. I mean, there is a part of it. When I was going through my divorce many years ago, I had a few times that I smoked cigarettes, and it was like, it was this bit of a calming effect.
Because you're breathing. Oh, how many cigarette smokers say that? You know, well, it relaxes me. No, it doesn't. It's the breathing that does. In fact, what's in the cigarette makes you more hyper. You could unscrew the mechanism of the pen and just have it, this straw, and sit and breathe through that. And the act of breathing is what relaxes you.
Yeah, but there were chemicals in there as well.
Yeah, sugar. There's sugar in the cigarette paper.
And so now this thing that we all thought was okay, and then they realize it's not okay, we're the people that are helping people stop these things.
Exactly. And you know, and when we had gone to the hypnosis school program that we went through, which is really significant, when we have to work on smoking cessation, we are educated as exactly what's in the cigarettes, what's in the paper. So we know that there are other addictions, side addictions that are created, not just the act of smoking. But, you know, we used to joke, being a non-smoker, never smoked, that or women would say this, that they went out with someone who smoked. It was like, the kiss them was like licking an ashtray, right? So that's, we always felt that was...
There's some interesting tricks to get people to stop that. So if you have any addictive kind of behavior, it's not who you are. It's what you've learned. It's what you've made all right in your belief system. So if you're changing any kind of addiction, you want to, again, go back to consciously looking at it with logic, with reason. Is this good for my body? Is this good for my soul? Is this good for my mind? If there's any no's to it, there's a process to switching that over and getting that one on the backside.
You know, when we go back like about 30 years ago, there's a couple of books, small books that were written then. And one of the books was called Soft Addictions. Mm-hmm. And that book had to do with things that we do on a daily basis that are not harmful. It wasn't about drugs or alcohol or smoking. It was like watching too much TV or the way we... You know, and it's fascinating to read that and realize, you know, because the subconscious gets so programmed and we're so habitual, you know, things that we do, just like getting up in the morning. And then at a time like this, one of my favorite books from way back in the early 90s was called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, because it's all small stuff. And I think that this is a time where we need to pull that book out and read it and also laugh at ourselves, because as we go through, like every time there is a change of administration, you know, in people in power, and this goes on in all countries, there is this anticipatory anxiety that takes place with the entire population. And some of it is this, the anticipation of, oh, it's a new administration, I hope they do better. Or it's a new administration, oh my God, I'm not looking forward to this. There's various sides to this, but people get this, and the Uranus-Mars alignment really does trigger hyper reactions, you know, in all of us. So we really encourage alignment separates on Saturday to everyone, just chill out, okay? Be calm, as Audrey says, choose calm, and just go hang out, you know, let everything unfold. Because with Mercury going retrograde in Uranus, in Aquarius, which is ruled by Uranus, and Uranus and Mars lined up, one of the things that I can say, having been an astrologer for 30 years, is that evidence is not necessarily in the moment what will be.
Yep.
Okay. This is a very tricky alignment.
Repeat that.
That with Mercury going retrograde in Aquarius and the Sun in Aquarius and Uranus, which is the ruler of Aquarius, aligned with Mars and squared by Jupiter, that the evidence of what we see today is not necessarily what will be, you know, as we get to the end of the week. This is a very quirky and unpredictable, you know, alignment. In fact, my astrology teacher years ago, I remember his words so clearly.
Patrick,
you know, I'm old school and he's really old school. He said that the one thing you know about Aquarian energy that you can predict is that it's unpredictable.
So with all the news that I've been looking at, all these different sources of things, it's an interesting time.
Well, the other thing is,
and
too,
it can be quirky.
Yes. You know, and even though we, you know, our birthday is in 1776, the planet Uranus was discovered in 1781. And so Uranian energy just wasn't in astrological or astronomical terms, but the planet existed. And so our country is very Uranian, even though we're in from July, you know, we're, you know, Cancerian. But, you know, we were forming when Uranus was discovered. So when Uranus does quirky things in the sky, you know, we really feel it as the United States.
Well, I think we're definitely feeling it as the United States at the moment.
Oh, definitely.
So I like to mention in this kind of a moment, and I can't even stress enough, however you do this is all good. This is a really good time to pray. And when I'm saying praying, it means putting it out there, what you're intending, not only for yourself, but for our country and for the planet. So when I say divine right actions taking place for the best and highest for all of humanity, there it is. When we put our attention and focus on there, there's no fear involved with it. It is a conscious intention that's good for everyone. So we're literally shining brightly into that intention. So the best and highest for all of humanity happening. And that means greater health for all humanity, greater abundance, greater love, greater joy. So when you're holding that space, it takes you out of the fear and it puts you into alignment. And it also puts you into creating this intentionally. So if you find yourself in a moment, there's another thing. So praying is good. Also meditating. And on my AudreyNewmont.com, I have a meditation page. You pick anyone. If you're having a moment where you're going into any kind of fear, stop your car and do one of these things. Meditate somebody who makes sense for you that'll help lift you up. There's all these techniques, but don't get lost in the fear. Don't go into fight, flight, and heaven forbid, freeze. This is a time to create intentionally, seriously.
And when you pray and meditate, and this is something that, you know, Merlin's actually shared with me, is that the intention of the prayer is to create the good that you want. You can't fix the past, okay? When we're praying about something that's happened, We can't fix that, but we can create, you know, our thoughts, our mind, our prayers can go in and take on a form. It's an energetic form that becomes this reality. And so
I just want to say in the prayer, you can hold yourself in the highest with it. So there is, yes, a part of praying where you can reduce and begin the process of letting go of trauma about what did happen in the past.
Yes, you can let go of the emotions that are in there. Yes, but you can't change the past, but you can create from the present, from this moment, being completely present. Mm-hmm. You can start this energetic form with prayer and higher thought to create what you want to create.
Yeah.
And that's where as individuals, we have a lot of power. And that is the power of the mind is connected to spirit.
Yeah. So in this moment, it's super important when I say, I would do those hashtags on Facebook or wherever, and I'm saying, own your power. Owning your power means all these things, being intentional, being conscious, you know, and knowing that you're creating this moment and you're also creating the future, however that looks, right?
Exactly.
I have no idea what time it is.
Well, I do. I can see it. Right.
Oh, so does anybody have any questions? We see you on your...
Yes, and by the way, thank you to all of you that watch us so faithfully. We really appreciate that. We enjoy doing the show, of course, and we do, you know, I think we go out of our way to try to bring in good guests that are informative and are experts, and especially people that don't do exactly what we do.
Yeah. You know what, if you have anybody that you would like for us to have on as a guest, you know, let them know to contact one of us. We are always looking for people who are like-minded, who have their own unique special gifts. And, you know, send them our way. And Gloria says, it's your pleasure, our pleasure. Yeah, you know what, Gloria, you have been such a, you know, such a space in my heart. Thank you so much. And thank you for all your support for all the years.
Someone watching me said I really needed this. Yep. I'm happy that whatever either one of Audrey, one
Becky.
Of us said that, you know, we said that gave you a lift, you know, because that's what we're here for. Is to give you a lift. And also, I'm going to tell this story about, because last night we were covering the spinal column and afflictions, bone afflictions and all that. So this is where, and it starts when you're a kid, where you can direct your life. So when I was around 10 years old and I was sitting in my grandmother's restaurant with my mother, my mother's side of the family, most of them had arthritis. Now, arthritis as a body syndrome, it has to do with self-pity, poor me, things like that. And I did witness that growing up and how they bemoan certain things. And so my mother looked at me and said, everybody in our family gets arthritis. And I heard that and I went, no. And I refused it. Now, I didn't know what I was doing at that time. I just knew how some of my relatives were, and I didn't want to be like that, and I wasn't going to be like that, and I refused that, and we can refuse that. And so when it comes to healthy mind, healthy body, just because somebody tells you that, you know, because your family has an affliction or it's in the DNA, that doesn't mean you're going to get it. And how you take care of yourself, beginning with your mind, you know, is the health that you're going to have. And, you know, at this point, you know, a few months ago, I turned 65. I'm still active. I played football, baseball, basketball, and tennis, and I do not have any arthritis.
Not a drop.
Nope. So, and of course, as we talked about, you know, a few years ago, when things were stressful, my blood pressure went up. I fixed that very fast. You know, that was situational. And fight flight mechanism. This is another thing to mention too. People can get angry very easily. And sometimes people store the anger in their body and that becomes depression. And some people rant and rave. But, you know, the fight flight mechanism does set people off.
I want to say something about, I want to back up just a little bit. When you were saying that about having the arthritis, not having the arthritis, I actually got a little bit of arthritis in my finger, started to realize what it was and stopped it. So it's important, like you had the high blood pressure. He went about the business of understanding what the high blood pressure was about. He literally
intentionally caused it. It was a reaction to something, but I caused it.
And then he did the process, the work, to own his body and change those things. And now his blood pressure is insanely good. So it's important to understand, because sometimes we'll go to the doctor and they say, oh, you have high blood pressure. You're going to be on these meds for the rest of your life. And that doesn't always have to be. And definitely, you know, go to your doctors, do whatever you think is best for you. We're not saying don't go to the doctors, but you can stop a lot of these things in midstream and change your trajectory, right. Change fact, where you're going.
I haven't been to a Western medicine doctor since those days which goes back to last time was 2000.
It's like 4 years ago.
Yep. And you know what that doctor told me? And this is an older guy. He said, the patient is the best physician. You know your body. And that is advice that sometimes people say things and just sticks with you because it makes such an impact. The patient is the best physician. So if you know something's going on with you, address it. And the other thing is, if you do know something's going on with you, please don't run away from it. Don't put your head in the sand. Take care of it.
That's the other part of it. It's, again, that thing, let's just put it over there and pretend it doesn't exist.
Right.
And then it exists in here. It exists in the heart. And then it becomes very creative in the body. So when you're addressing it in a way that is constructive, that is however you choose right. to do it. As an example, I'm chatting back and forth with Becky, Miss Castagno, who is our acupuncturist. She's one of the two that we have, and Michael will be on next week. So we have this whole team of people that redirect us, like Eloise will be in the class next week, and Kristen was this past week. We've got Kimberly Bennett. We've got all these people that continually lead us in the right direction, and how we know that is because we're feeling healthier and healthier as we're getting older. I'm 58, he's 65, and we feel really good, and we're not on any prescription medicines. And, you know, my joints are feeling better and better every day. So obviously something is working for this approach. And again, you have to find your own approach. You have to find what works for you, but own whatever that is.
Truly, truly.
Yeah?
Yes. And if you would like more information about the Healthy Mind, Healthy Body series, or if you'd like to, two classes are gone already, but if you're interested in upcoming topics, the upcoming speakers, please get in touch with Audrey or myself.
Yeah, you can jump in on any night. We're Zooming it. And we also have them available on YouTube that you can watch it.
You can purchase
whatever we've already done.
Classes, and they're full. It's full content, not highlights, is what we have. And you can call the Newmont Center at 818-865-8770 or email me at nnewmont@gmail.com.
AudreyNewmont.com and 818-665-6165.
Absolutely. We'd love to share this with you. And also, little tease, because we know time is running out. On Saturday, January 30th, we're teaching a class, a full-day class. It's all Saturday. It's called Focus on Success, How to Remove Fear and Doubt from Attaining Your Life's Work. And it's very tailored for people who are metaphysical, spiritual, therapeutic entrepreneurs that may have some kind of roadblocks. And we show you in this process, in this all-day class, of how to be successful, very specific things. And when people are very right-brained, artists, you're entitled to be successful. You're entitled to make money, be abundant. You are entitled as a human to have it all. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, what we help people do, is show them how they may have it all.
And that class is only in person.
That class is only in person because there's workbooks and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And limited capacity too.
Yeah.
For that. Anyway, the more to come on that. Again, you can get in touch with us if you'd like more information. Ooh. And time has run out.
Again, thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you. I look at all of you in here and I'm just so grateful. Melody, Kim, Becca-licious, Selena, Becky. I can't even express to you enough how much we appreciate you.
Truly, truly. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be doing this.
And all the people on Nick's feed as well.
Exactly.
So thank you so much. And again, I'm grounded, I'm centered, I'm focused, I'm calm through the next few days until this alignment that you've been talking about goes away on Saturday. Oh, and Medi. So we look forward to seeing you all next week. And in the meantime, love each other, be patient. And what do you always say?
Well, first of all, behind the scenes, thanks, Ronan. All these months for producing for us. We really appreciate it. And everybody there at LA Talk Radio. And yes, in a time like this, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other.
Love each other.
Exactly. We'll see you next week right back here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Nick. This is Audrey. Have a good night, everyone.
And share with your friends.
Please. Bye, Thank you.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.